All right, I think we're going to get started, folks. So, Courtney and Kelly, find a seat. I do. Can you hear it?
Usually you're really loud, though.
I could shout. I'm having a leisurely, quiet morning.
Somebody taped the game?
Where was I? Oh, I see. The game. I thought game. I'm going, which game? Boy, more leisure. Yeah, we could just watch a game for Sunday school, practice what I'm preaching. All right, well, welcome back. Let's get started. Somebody quip that folks are practicing leisure this morning and sleeping in perhaps, but we'll leave them where they are. Let's pray. Father, thank you that we have a chance to today really discuss and share how we can better balance work and leisure. Many of us are really busy. We feel like there's no give, and others wrestle with just the motivation to work. So would you help us put those things a little more clearly in our minds of how we can draw boundaries, how we can steward our time well. We pray, too, for the worship service about to come. Would you please be gracious to us and meet with us in a powerful way? Would you show us the Savior and move us to not only delight in Him, but to have our lives reflect our delight in Him? We ask this in the name of Christ our Savior. Amen. I just want to talk about the sermon, and I got it. No, we're working leisure, so hopefully that carries over in the next hour. Well, we've looked for a while at work. We sort of defined our terms in a long process. Work is God-ordained. It's a gift. We reflect Him as we do our work. We sort of elevated the idea of work. And same with leisure. We've seen that leisure is also biblical, that God Himself set that pattern of work and rest. Christ went away oftentimes to be refreshed. And the themes of feasting and celebration are common in the Scripture. I think of the Feast of Tabernacles as a good example of that. So that's what we've looked at. Both work and leisure are important. They're gifts. God gives us gifts. Leisure, you might say, is one of the things that keeps us from burnout. It's designed that we take time. Just stop. Life doesn't consist of the accumulation of stuff. That's a paraphrase of Jesus' own words. So our goal is to live a skilled life. I think that's what Proverbs calls us to live a life that's skillfully lived before God in light of who He is. It's Godward. So our goal in work and leisure is really to love God and our neighbor, living a Godward life. And our roles in that, I might have to expand on that a little bit, but God calls you to all of these things. Our roles as workers, as his worshipers, as in our relationships, those are roles that God has called us to, and so we're called to live those out well. And yet something, I think I was doing this, and maybe you've picked up on that I've almost been separating work and leisure too much. Riken has this little scale of work, obligatory stuff, and then the scale comes across to non-obligatory stuff, leisure stuff, and there's that whole section in the middle of semi-leisure. And there's a lot of things that work and leisure share together. One is time. Your life, you can pretty much divide all of your life into either work-type stuff or leisure-type stuff or somewhere on that continuum. And so your time, all of it, falls into one of those. You're either doing work, leisure, or some combination of the two. So I don't want to separate them completely. I think I have done that. Just thinking of, you know, Monday morning, I'm going to start with leisure time, and then we'll get into work. And, well, what about that middle section? So there's a lot of gray here as well. I just want to acknowledge that. Both work and leisure share part of God's creation mandate. That's one of the things that they have in common. I already mentioned time. They receive the Christian endorsement of being good. Both are good, and both can be abused. We can overemphasize, we can put too much time into one or the other. They share that same danger of idolatry. And now finally, this is all introductory, sort of clearing my throat stuff. This is a class where it's going to be very easy to pull down the law on you guys. You know, we've got to balance work and leisure, so now this is what you've got to do. And you may receive that in comments that we share as well. Here's what we do, and since we do this as a family and it works well, you should too. I think what we really want to receive today is hopefully a lot of input on how we can better balance work and leisure, but not as law, rather as ways to sharpen each other in doing this better. What I think we all want to take away is the principles underneath. We've looked at those in the last 10 weeks, that work is good. God calls us to work. It's part of the fabric of our design. Leisure is good. We're meant to have full lives, whole lives, and to develop ourselves not just in our tasks, but to be filled with creativity and enjoyment. So the biggest takeaway from today, and I hope from the whole class, is that you think about both work and leisure and think about how you do it. That's your homework. I hope it's been rattling around your minds throughout the last 3 months, but that you think about how do you do work and leisure before a holy and a loving God. So, there's our question. How can I do both my work and leisure for God's glory? And for the workaholics, you need to stop feeling guilty about leisure. You ought not to feel guilty because Jesus himself was leisurely, at least from time to time. He endorsed leisure, going to parties, at least weddings. I think that's a party. And on the other hand, for those who struggle with too much leisure, you need to stop seeing work as bad. It's part of God's good design. So I'm speaking to two different groups. I think we all have overlaps in that, but some of us really wrestle with working hard. We love leisure, ease, and others of us work hard and we feel guilty about having leisure. And that's going to be tough as we discuss how do you balance these two. Well, some people will say, that's no problem for me. Leisure comes easy. And others are going to be saying, I just can't stop working. I love it. So let me see. I think we can move on from that. Looking at first just the choice, we all need to choose to put time into this as far as thinking through how are you going to do your work and how are you going to do your leisure. It's going to be costly. You're probably going to have to change something of what you do, and it's going to hurt. I think, for example, leisure, we all like lowest common denominator leisure. It's just easier, just plop, and we forget about the refreshment element or the goodness of or the satisfaction of leisure that's invested, developing ourselves. And same with work. It's hard to stop working because you feel like you're not doing anything. You feel like you're not accomplishing something. You feel like there's still more that's got to be done. So there's a cost to this. It's going to involve thinking and creativity. Let me look at stewardship very briefly. I was going to look at this last time when we just ran out of time, and I don't want to spend a lot of time on it because I really want to get to how do we balance these things. But really the underlying theme of particularly leisure, but work as well, is stewardship. If God gives us the gift of life, of time, he calls us to steward. If it's a gift from him, you can't just hoard it. You're to steward the time that he gives you. Ryken writes, as stewards of our leisure time, this is his conclusion on leisure, as stewards of our leisure time, we have a moral obligation to reject leisure activities that are hostile to Christian values. We need to steward what we do in our leisure time just as much as we need to steward what we do in our work time. And on your outline, you see a bunch of stewardships of various things. I'm just going to blow through them, and then I'll pause for any comments or questions, and then we'll get to the heart of where I want to go this week and next week. So first, I already mentioned stewardship of time. We're to use our time well since it's a gift of God. That's going to take thinking. That means you're going to have to take a little bit of time just to think about how do you steward your time? Are there times where you're just wasting it? And I don't mean wasting as in you went for a walk, because that can be stewarding it very well. But are you stewarding, using your time in a way that pleases God and reflects God's work-leisure combo? There you go, work-leisure combo. I like that. So time to be who you are as well as time to accomplish. Stewardship of God's world, that's the second one I have there. Reverencing God's world, admiring God's world. I'm not sure how many of you would put your hand up and say, are you an environmentalist? But you all should, because this is God's world. He calls us to steward it. It doesn't mean we can't use it. It doesn't mean you can't use oil and gas and so on. But we're called to steward it well. And part of that is delighting in God's creation. And then protecting it, I think, is another part of that. That falls within both our work and our leisure activities. Stewarding, stewardship of beauty. Instead of just saying Christmas decorations are pish posh, which you might hear in our house from time to time, mostly from me. We're to delight in the beauty that God made. It's okay to put up, Kelly, plug your ears. It's okay to put up Christmas decorations and just delight in them. Little girls do. I guess I can too. I'll work at it this week. But to enjoy the beauty of God's creation, there's a stewardship of that. Not just to blow by it all, but to slow down it and to smell the roses. This time of year, I don't know what you smell, but turkey's cooking. It always comes back to food. Stewardship of our bodies and our emotions. I don't think we often think about that. That falls within leisure too, or maybe work, but taking care of ourselves. I just read a quote, I wish I hadn't read it, but it said something like this. It was written to pastors, so it was just blasting me, not you guys. To not exercise, to not care for your body, is just a different version of selfishness, or it can be a different version of selfishness. Where I'm doing what's easier, I don't exercise. I need to pray that I actually get off my chair and do that. But I think that's fair. But God calls us to steward our bodies. They're gifts too. And so to take care of them in what we eat and how we exercise, also in just resting. We can't treat our bodies like machines. There's a stewardship of our bodies and our emotions as well. Stewardship of mind and imagination. You're thinking, really? Steward your mind and imagination? Well, yeah, think about the arts, where you're stewarding. Your mind is not meant to be a machine. It's meant to be creative, to connect dots, to delight in, to be moved by the arts and the imagination. And finally, just excellence in leisure, quality of life. That's something I hope I've pushed you a little bit on, that leisure is more than just watching movies and videos. That's fine. But there's more to that as far as excellence in leisure. That's one aspect, I think, sort of the entertainment. That's one aspect of leisure. But what about, refreshment, restoration, development? Those are aspects of leisure as well. So just kind of a blow through thinking stewardship, particularly with respect to leisure and opening up some other doors. I'm going to pause, see if there are any comments on that, and then I'm going to get into... hopefully, how do we balance work and leisure? I'll tell you exactly how to do it. I'll solve all your problems. Just send me a big check. No, I'm just kidding. Isn't that a radio preacher kind of thing? All right, any comments or questions on stewardship, anything I've said so far, apart from the foolish things I've said? All right, well, I'm going to take a sip of water. You think for a minute. All right, no comments. Let's move on. How do you balance work and leisure? Well, I feel like I need to begin. I speak as a workaholic. That's a lousy confession. That's where I tend towards. So when I answer these questions, how do you balance work and leisure? My tendency is going to be to speak from the perspective of somebody who finds leisure difficult. But that's not where everybody is. And so I say that because I want to try to hit both of those sides of how do you draw boundaries between work and leisure? Because that's, I think, our first one, drawing boundaries around our work and around our leisure. But for those who find their work groaning and very little joy in their work, you're going to have to draw sharper boundaries, I think, versus somebody who, what am I trying to say here? Let me put it this way. If somebody has a 9-to-5, this thing keeps falling off today. If somebody has a 9-to-5 job and you can't take any of that job home, it's going to be much easier for you to have leisure time. Versus somebody like a mom who the list never ends, the laundry never ends, it's a lot harder to draw. You're going to have to, that type of person is going to have to spend a lot more time trying to draw some boundaries around their work because it just goes on and on and on. And there's no relief from it. You see what I mean? Yeah, okay, I got a couple of nods, so I'm just going to assume you all get it. So speaking of boundaries then, we have the principle of refreshment, of work and rest. What are some ways that you can set boundaries around your work if it just oozes over into all of life? And yet you're called by God. I think we're called to choose to stick some leisure into our lives. If that's kind of where you are, I'm sure some of you have been able to do that well.
How do you begin to balance your busy, heavy workload with times of leisure? Any ideas or things that have worked, things that you've tried? I think that's probably where we'll spend a bunch of time. Does everybody understand the question? Yeah. All right. Sharing time. One thing that I think Laura does well is with her cell phone. That's one of the little things where particularly work, but interruption can continually, I need these, but this is weird. You guys are getting fuzzy. And it's your problem, not mine. Right. I think what Laura does well, she often, when she comes home, she'll take her cell phone and just put it aside and leave it there. I think our gadgets are wonderful tools, but they often drag our work and interruption into the whole rest of our life, where I'm sure you've seen this or experienced it if you have a cell phone, especially if you have a smart one. It buzzes or it shakes, and your mind goes there. And that's difficult both for leisure, if you're reading a book, or just sipping a coffee, or I don't know if it happens when you're hunting. But I could see that too. Now you're not thinking deer anymore. It's interrupted. And the same with work. This is a struggle for me is I took email off my phone because otherwise I'm thinking about work the whole night. And I think there's one area where we can draw a boundary. So you know what? I know where my kids are. I can take my phone, my device. I could set them aside, and I'm going to. You're there for the evening. I'll bless you in the morning with my presence. But right now, you're done. I think that's one way that we could usefully help us and our kids to draw somewhat of a boundary around the interruption of whether it's work or just continual contact. So there's one example of drawing boundaries, perhaps, around work, leisure. Yeah. I'm going to interrupt you for just a sec. Can you hear back there, Dave? No. Dave's about as old as me, so you're going to have to speak up. Sorry. Right. It's the more we live our lives in little tweets, the more our mind can only think in little tweets. And there's lots of studies on that. That's increasing the quality of your leisure is reading longer things than just texts or tweets and so on. Yeah, good. Any other ideas on how do you set boundaries around the ooze of leisure or the ooze of work? Yeah, Kim.
Your problem, because I told you when you could reach me. And then along those lines, I'm reading a book called The Art of Silence. He actually recommends you turn your devices off for the whole weekend and just relax and not have them interrupting you.
Yeah.
So I think we have to tell people while we're turning them off.
Right. It feels rude, I think. Today, people expect, with email, for example, you expect a response much quicker than when you only had postage stamps. Now, how much more with cell phones and with being able to text now? If you don't text somebody back immediately, it's perceived as rude. And I think to set the, listen, I'll get back to you, don't expect it right away. It feels rude, but it's protection. It's a bigger principle of, listen, there's more to life than answering every little query that you have or writing the little smiley jokes that come back. Those are fine, but there's a time to say, no, now's the time for me to rest, to stop being distracted, or to work. This is another area of drawing boundaries in work. My kids have this little ditty. I don't know where they got it from, probably Laura, but work when you work, play when you play. Like, what does that mean? I understand what it means now. When I'm at work, I need to draw boundaries. Now it's time to buckle down and work. Shut Facebook off because it distracts. Now, maybe some of you have to do Facebook because of work. I don't know. I think I can imagine that as true. But for most of us, we live distracted work lives. And there's studies there, too, where most of us waste 2 hours a day in our 8-hour workday or 12-hour, whatever it might be. But to really work while we're working, because you work hard, come home tired, and then, but now you've done your work. I think that's another, really purify your work. Work unto the Lord. Cut out the excess, which isn't really work. Work hard, and then you're done with it. Now move on. I suspect, you know, I'll grab you in just a sec, Dave. I'll grab your question in just a second. I suspect that could be true in the home as well. I remember the secretary up in Grand Rapids saying, I think we were talking about how do you get all your housework done when you're working 5 days a week? And she said, well, you know what's really funny? Before I was working, it took me all week to do my housework. Now it takes me a day to do it. Why? Well, just because I've only got a day. I got a bus. I need to move fast and hard to get it done. I think there's something there. I'm not here as far as I do some housework, but Laura does most of it. But I suspect there's probably some truth to that. If you say, listen, I'm going to blow this laundry out in this half a day, and then I'm done with it. What's not done, it's not done tough. I'll do the underwear first. Freebies, right? And now I'm done with it. But to work intensely and then move on, I suspect that would also free up some, at least mental time for leisure of, okay, now we're done. Perhaps as couples too. After supper, we're going to work hard for an hour cleaning up the place. Kids will be in bed. Well, those are younger kids anyways. Now we're done. No more. The house is still going to be a mess. That's okay. Let's sit in the middle of it and enjoy it. Not the mess, but enjoy time. Dave, you were going to say something before I went off on that rant. I mean, advice.
Well, I guess I was thinking, as particularly what, in response to what Kim has said, that because, you know, as a counselor, I meet with clients, it would be unthinkable for me to be checking my cell phone in the midst of a counseling session. And so by default, over the years, that's a built-in boundary. Now, I'm sure there are some people that do that. But in a sense, that has almost given me a freedom just out of respect for
Oh, usually I just, you know, hold on. Somebody more important is calling. No. No, you're right.
But as you're talking here, I'm thinking, well, why is that a priority? There are a number of reasons why, but just to be able to have that freedom to, how does that type of respect transfer into other areas of our lives? Mm-hmm. Not necessarily on a one-to-one, you know, transfer, but there is a basis for respecting whatever else you're doing so that other things don't have to interrupt.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Matt.
Sometimes I think it's hard to, I overanalyze things that I do at work. So even when I'm home and I'm not doing work, I'm thinking about work. It's irritating because I don't end up doing what I know I should do that would take that worry away. Mm.
Yep.
And I think being a teacher, you're always thinking of, did I do this right? What do I have to do next? And then you just get sick of it, and you say, well, I'm not doing anything. And it's like an endless cycle.
Yeah, I think, how do you get your mind to stop working? Because you cannot be actually doing the physical work. But how do you stop your mind from thinking about what's going on at work or whatever your task is? You might be out for coffee with a friend. You're still thinking about your kids because there's disasters going on. I suspect part of that is discipline of, no, that's for later. There's a mental discipline in leisure. One thing that this doesn't solve, but what has helped me somewhat is actually going home and changing my clothes. I'm in leisure mode. It's a stupid thing, but it's helped me just a little bit of, no, it's... I'm not going to keep my... I like wearing dress pants. One of those weird guys. But to put on jeans, it just helps my head to say, no, different time zone right now. And also with things like that, I don't know how much you could do this as a teacher, but to just write a note, say, this is for me to think about tomorrow. That doesn't fix the whole deal, but those are some little ways that have helped me somewhat. But I feel the pain of you're at home and the Lord's going, where are you? Well, I'm here, really, I promise. And any other comments as far as balancing or setting boundaries between between work, leisure, trying to carve out time or trying to reverence both work and leisure?
Mm-hmm. One day a week to spend time with your family, enjoying each other, going to museums or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But not just do it haphazardly, but have a really mm-hmm. set time to do these things.
Yeah. I think there's that setting a boundary of we're going to strive to have this particular day or this particular time, whether it's an evening, whether it's a Sunday afternoon, whether it's a where you plan a break. I think most of us can do that to a fair degree. At least for we, even if it's just an hour, this hour a week is going to be where we're going to chill. I think there's a couple other things. I think I want to move on here. A couple thoughts. These are things probably from my own family back home, but a family dinner. Particularly when we were teens, my parents fought really hard to keep that time before we all scattered and did our own lives. That's a leisure time, a family dinner where you're sitting around. It's a luxury, but just to be able to talk and to that gets harder as you get older, as I experienced myself. Yeah, I think that's probably enough for that. At least we have some thoughts on it. Ryken, just to end with a quote from him. Is this, we're time-bound creatures. And the most common way to deny the limitations of time is to work frantically in an effort to get everything done. In ceaseless work, we harbor the illusion that we are not under time after all. I think that's really interesting, because that's me. Work, try to get the whole to-do list done. You're never going to. You're going to die with a to-do list in your hand. There's going to be stuff undone. And I guess God designed it that way. And that's okay. He's the only one who ever got everything done. I mean, he, the Lord Jesus. And so I think we can rest in that fact. We're time-bound creatures, and we're never going to get the balance perfectly either. That's okay. We move toward it. Sanctification is by degree, right? So don't feel super frustrated if you don't have this down pat by the end of the week. That's okay. Stretching it, continue to grow. Yeah, Amy. Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I get caught up in thinking, well, if I don't do this, you know,
right,
everything else is going to be affected. Mm-hmm. And really, the world doesn't fall apart if I don't.
Right.
So a lot of it, I think, is a selfish thought sometimes, mm-hmm. that, of what we can actually accomplish.
Right. I don't know if you didn't catch it, the idea of we often think we're more important than we really are. The world's not going to stop if we're not there or if we don't do a particular thing. It usually carries on just fine when we get really sick, and you may be frustrated by that. It's like, I thought I was more important than that. Good enough. I want to look for a moment just at reducing and simplifying. I think that's probably a decent segue into that, because other people can do most of what you can do. There are some things that only you can do, but there are many things that a lot of other people could do too. And that's one of the freedoms, perhaps, of reducing and simplifying. What I mean by reducing is trying to cut back on all the things that you're trying to do or that you have on your plate. That's work. It takes a sharp knife and it takes discipline. Simplifying is sort of, probably just from our house, the idea of getting rid of half the toys. It just simplifies that part of your life. You don't have 100 toys to pick up, you only have 50 to pick up. Well, often I think our lives reflect that. We have a gazillion things going on, and if we can simplify and reduce some of our areas of responsibility, that would do us in good stead. I think you see this idea perhaps in being involved in every single thing in the church. Well, that could be wonderful. It can also be salvation by involvement. And it may just not be wise for your family, for you in that particular time and place. Maybe you should say no to some of those activities. I don't think we have an overwhelming amount of activities, but if you were involved in everything at New Hope, I think you'd be really, really busy. And you might need to say, listen, for our own sanity, we need to say no to some of this stuff. If you're on every committee, I don't think anybody is, but you can imagine that. There's probably a time to say, we need to reduce because we're too busy. We don't have time to refresh. So reducing, there's lots of studies as well where, I was going to start with this, so let me just pretend that I'm saying this as introduction, okay? Reducing and simplifying. For some folks, there's just little to nothing that they can reduce. That there's just too much to do, and that's part of the curse. Some of you can reduce to, and you reduce perfectly as much as you possibly can, and still there's just too much to do. I don't want you to all put yourselves automatically in that category. I think that's your temptation. But for some, there's just too, and that's part of the curse. It stinks, and you can't fix it. And yet, Christianity supplies the attitudes that transform even the overwhelming workload. Even this, I can groan through this and yet do it for my God. And so I can do this with not a bitter Israel in bondage attitude, but he's freed me. He gives me more than I can handle, yes, but he'll sustain me so that I don't get overwhelmed. That was sort of the introductory comment. Reichen also writes, much of our too much work problem is engendered by an acquisitive, acquiring a lifestyle that could be simplified if people chose to do so. I'm sure I've mentioned the idea of, remember, buying the boat. If you buy a boat for leisure, that's wonderful. Buy me a boat. I don't mind. But you wash it, and you paint it, and you buy the trailer, and you store it. I don't want to have to deal with anything more. And I think so often we have those things in our lives where this would be wonderful, but we forget to count the busyness cost that sort of attaches itself to it. So let's think out loud. Don't give me all your thoughts, but on reducing and simplifying is a way to balance work and leisure. Can you think of a few ways that you can reduce or simplify? What are some ways that you can reduce your plate so that there's just one nice piece of chicken on it instead of chicken, turkey, beans, potatoes, corn, gravy? Don't forget the gravy, cranberries, and so on. I'm sorry?
Oh. Set aside challenge.
Okay. Uh-huh, uh-huh. Yeah, I think that's good, Libby. Again, setting aside specific times to do specific tasks. You're probably hinting at what I'm going to look at next week, I think, is Matt Perman's book on what's best next. But identifying responsibilities and setting aside specific times for them and just doing that and then moving on, that's helpful in giving yourself a time limit so that you work harder during that particular time as well. Seeing if I have further examples. One of the things I think many of us wrestle with is delegation. I'm not doing everything yourself. Other people can do this. Your kids can do this too. Kids can wash dishes. Kids can make lunches. Kids can help vacuum, even if they're, well, not Levi's age yet, but Jesse can. I might not be perfect, but it's not always up to us. Other people can take over and help too. Some of you have the financial means to be able to hire somebody to do some of your cleaning. Those are ways that you can reduce. Where you can take advantage of those things so that you have time to live a full life. So delegating, eliminating, that's just getting it right off your plate. We've talked before about choosing the level of, lifestyle, I forget what the right word is, but that's a choice we have. Laura and I chose to live in a specific home that has a lot of repercussions as far as how much you clean, also how much you can host, how much your mortgage is. So there's all those things that tie into it. We could live downtown. Now, I think there's some reasons why we wouldn't, as far as in one of those little houses, kids getting run over might be one of the things. But those are things that I think we can think about, at least, as far as reducing some of the responsibilities in our particular, in our own lives. Deferring, I think, is another one. Not trying to do it all now, but saying, you know, that's not the most important thing for this week, next week. And if you defer it for 6 months, just get rid of it. It's not that important. I'm not seeing any light bulbs going off this morning for reducing and simplifying. Anybody want to jump in? Otherwise, I'm going to move on. Yeah, Ron. And then I think we can come back to the boundaries. Even there are some times where you just have to do what's nice because that's going to refresh you. But yeah, I think that's right. What must be done next week? I think I'm going to, unless you tell me otherwise, but I think I'm going to go through a couple of the chapters in Perman's book because he talks about defining your realms. What are the realms that God has put you in charge of? For me, for example, I'm a husband, I'm a father, I'm a pastor, I am a Christian. I guess that should have come first. See, we make mistakes too. And there's a bunch of other ones. But then he says, now think in terms of each of those realms. Write down maybe three things that you should do to be faithful in those realms this week. And it becomes a huge list. But what he's trying to help you do is to think through what are my responsibilities? What's important for me to do to move forward the being a father realm? And then he says, now pick... I can't remember exactly, but I think it's the most important one of each of these for this week. What are the ones that you're weakest in right now? And put those into your calendar to do them. That's the idea of what's important. I think for people who like lists or like doing, the work sort of guys, often think about the to-do list, but not people. And that's kind of contrary to what God's calls to do. What's the commandment? Love God and love your neighbor. Well, our lists often don't involve loving people. When I think of a list, I think of working on particular projects around the house at least, making sure the kids don't kill each other. But it's not usually sitting down and talking with Emma. It's just not usually on the list. But it's that we need to move. Those are more important. And there, I think, when you get into the realms of how can I move forward my relationship with my wife, that's a whole different question than how can we talk through the schedule of all that has to happen in December. And there's I think, when we're sitting down and thinking through it, then at least, even though not everything gets done, the important things get done. And at the end of your life, you could say, you know what, I had a lot of to-do lists. I have about six sitting there in my inbox, old ones. I should just throw them out. They nag at you. But at least at the end of the week, I'd say, but what was most important, I did. I cared for my kids at least, I was going to say once out of the week, but a little bit. I move that relationship just a little bit forward. Not, but just a little bit. I think that's a very helpful, really freeing way of reducing in the midst of all of these things calling out our name. So, do you want to end like 5 minutes early today? Yeah. I've got lots more we could do. I want to talk about prioritizing, and I want to talk about moving toward leisure. But we've always gone right up to the line. It might be nice to have a few minutes for coffee. Maybe I'll leave you with this. Christianity, this is Reichen again, I'm quoting him mostly today. Christianity calls people to excellence. Excellence. That's all I want to leave you with. And actually, that's not where I want to. I got to go to where I really was going to leave you. Excellence in work, excellence in leisure, but really underneath that for each of us is this. We need to rest in Jesus' finished work. We're not performers. We're resters at heart. We rest in the good news. We rest in His accomplishments because as we rest in Him, the panic and the franticness and the frenzy of trying to get what we want out of life has been met. So that's where we rest because then we're free both to excel in leisure, to say, I'm going to enjoy this time all by myself, and it's okay. The guilt is gone. And it also frees you to work hard because now you're working for Him, not working to get more. You're resting in what you have. I think that's the beauty of the gospel. It frees us to really work to excel both in work and leisure. What a good Lord, huh? So let's pray, and then I'll give you, it's only going to be 3 minutes now because I keep on talking. Let's pray. Father, please help us to actively rest in the Lord Jesus, to delight in Him finishing the to-do list. Our salvation to-do list is finished. We can rest in who You are. so that we don't have to work to buy significance. We can work hard even if nobody else notices. And you've also freed us to enter into that eternal rest, the beginning now, where we could say, I don't have to work to win God. I could stop. Help us do that some this week, to work when we work and to play when we play. Help us grow in this. We ask this in Jesus' name. And Lord, maybe just right now, help us to just enjoy a coffee. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.